Welcome to Education Currents, a show designed to provide current educational news and commentary from a Christian worldview. The greatest resource any community has is its children, and by providing for them the best possible education, we are providing for ourselves and future generations. Join us as we explore the latest social and political issues surrounding education. Here are your hosts, Paul Tooley and Dr. Rose Gamblin.
Welcome, welcome. We're glad that you could be here. Today we're going to be discussing homework, the pros and cons of homework. How important is homework to your children or to your students? How much does it help them in their education endeavors? And we also have with us today an interesting guest, Jeremy, who... Jeremy, what grade are you in?
I'm not in any grade. I'm in kindergarten.
Oh, so we have kindergarten Jeremy
that
here.
Wonderful age where you just love to go to school, hopefully. Well, we'll find out. We'll just find out.
Yes.
So how old are you?
Six.
6 years old. Wow.
6 years old. And how many people are in your family?
Four.
And who are they? You've got mom, right?
Mm-hmm.
And dad.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's you.
Yeah.
Is there anybody else?
And my little brother.
Oh, your little brother.
What's his name?
Trayden.
Trayden.
What grade is he in?
He goes to my Aunt Wendy's for his school.
What's the best thing about school?
Recess.
They've already learned in kindergarten what the best thing about school is.
Do you like anything that has to do with writing or a pencil?
I do like lunchtime.
But lunchtime and recess are only two things. Besides lunchtime and recess, what do you look forward to doing? What's the first thing you do when you get into your classroom in the morning?
Sit down on the floor. It's called crazy. It has a funny name for it.
What is it called?
The funny name for it is crisscross applesauce.
Oh, crisscross applesauce. So,
and what do you do when you sit on the floor? What happens next?
You listen to our teacher.
Okay, and what does she usually tell you?
Lots of things, I think.
We were talking a little bit before the show about something that you like a lot, and that is about nature.
Yeah, I love nature.
Do you ever do anything in school with nature when you're in school? I mean, do you ever look at bugs in your classroom or
sometimes
things like that?
I play with the animals and our toy animals in the classroom. They have sea animals.
Do you have any real animals in the classroom?
No!
So, talking about the sea, what do you know? What do you know about the sea?
Well, I saw in this show, and I saw this fish and it camouflaged in the ground, and then when a little fish came swimming by, it went ow!
So what does the word camouflage mean?
It means it's something that looks the same. Like stick bugs look like sticks and grass bugs look like grass.
Right. Well, I was just checking to see if you knew what camouflage
meant. Do you ever have to take schoolwork home from your classroom and do it at home?
I do.
Like, what do you have to take home? Give us an example of something you might have
My
to take
work,
home.
You put, shoot, our teacher puts it in our folders.
Okay. And like, what kinds of things is that? Do you make letters at home, or do you make numbers at home? Or?
No. I don't do homework. I only do schoolwork.
Now, do they have hot lunch at your school?
Yeah.
And so did you?
I had hot lunch today. They have hot lunch. Tomorrow, they had hot lunch.
Lunch? Is it hot lunch?
Yeah, hot
they have hot lunch?
Yeah.
And what did you have?
Grilled cheese. Tomorrow's hot dogs.
Oh, are you going to get hot lunch again tomorrow?
Yes.
So, you know, we're thinking about some really big things here about how your brain works. Have you ever thought about how your brain works?
No.
How do your eyes see?
Because your eyes are attached to your brain.
Explain that to me.
Well, they have these bang things, and then they go attached to your brain.
So is it like a camera?
Kind of.
But how did you learn that? Where did you learn that from?
I saw that on SpongeBob.
Well, that's an honest answer. faster.
Yeah, so do you
Yeah, Mermaid and Barnacle Boy would kick his eyeballs and they would boom.
Okay, so what is it, Jeremy, what is it that you've learned at school most recently? What's the latest thing you've learned at school?
I don't know.
You don't know? Well, that's probably why you need to go to school.
Is it fun to go to school because your friends are there?
Maybe.
Maybe.
We do lots of fun activities.
Okay, what kind of activities do you do that are fun?
You have different centers in the classroom that you go to.
What are centers?
Okay, what activities did you do today?
I don't know. I don't know why I keep forgetting. Most of the times I forget things.
Well, that's why we go to school. That's why we go to school.
So that doesn't work.
Do you have a best friend?
Yeah. His name is Ryan.
Ryan.
Only when I wear my Lego Star Wars shirt, I'll play Star Wars with him.
So you have to play whatever your shirt's wearing?
No.
You have a swimmer on your shirt today. Did you play swimming?
No. Actually, that's a dude on a skateboard.
Oh, I'm sorry. I need to get some better eyeballs.
Well, what's the most important...
You have to keep your eyeballs.
So, Jeremy, what's the most important thing you think you've learned in life so far?
I don't know. I don't know why I keep forgetting things most of the time.
That's all right. That's right. So you were seeing something out the window just now. What was it that you saw?
Hummingbird. It was eating out your bird feeder.
How do you know it's a hummingbird?
Because it's when we're zipping so fast I couldn't even see them.
How does it get food out of that feeder?
It's see those things that look like flowers?
Mm-hmm.
They put their nose in there, and then it goes...
right up to their little beaks? Yeah. Little big, long, skinny beaks? Is that what they stick in there?
I think that's it.
Do they have a long tongue that goes in there and licks?
No.
They just suck it up?
Yeah.
Like a straw, maybe.
Yeah, because it goes...
So where did you learn about hummingbirds?
Well, I did see on this book that Grandma has to fly backwards, the hummingbirds put their wings behind their back to fly backwards.
Man, you've learned quite a few things, most of them not at school.
Yeah, we're trying to figure out what's so important about school.
Yeah, because you've learned a lot.
My classroom.
Yeah, but what in your classroom is important to you?
They have lots of fun toys.
Oh, so it's the toys at school. What's your favorite toy at school?
Both two. There's these things that you attach together. They go, I think.
Are they like Legos or Kinects or blocks or?
I think they're Kinects. No, they're not Kinects.
Okay, what's your other one? What's your other toy?
My other favorite is these things. They also attach together. Do you have these things all around them? And when you attach them to another one, they go...
Are they like wheels or...
Yeah, they're wheels.
Wheels. Okay.
And when you turn them, all the other wheels?
Yeah, it's fun to roll them.
Well, we certainly appreciate you stopping by and giving us an update about school. Because... all we talk about is how important school is and what you can do to make it the best experience possible. So we're going to let you go now, but we want to thank you for coming.
Thank you very much, Jeremy.
Thank you, too.
Kind of an interesting, actually it was a very interesting and eye-opening interview with Jeremy. And today we're talking about the homework, the pros and cons. And I think what I'd like to start off doing before we really get into the deep discussion is kind of define what we mean by homework. When I'm talking about homework, I don't know what you think about, but when I think of homework, what I'm thinking of is work that is created just for the child to do at home. I'm not talking about a classroom amount of work that the teacher wants to be done, and then the student fools around or whatever and doesn't get it done at school, but it's due the next day, so they have to do it to get it done because they didn't get it done in school.
I think we could put both of those categories together because there's some big flaws in both of those.
Yeah. Well,
so we can talk first about the one that you have in mind, and then we can...
Well, the one I have in mind is the whole idea of flow. Class activities or class lessons or things that you're trying to teach should all flow from the goal or the objective the teacher has. So if I have a given objective for students to learn, let's say I want them to add fractions. Now, you break the component down into the discovery section in which they would discover what fractions are, and then they would begin to get the idea of adding fractions together, and you might use manipulatives so that they can actually physically add them together. I found one great way is candy bars, because you can split them up into sixths, because the chocolate bars will have six squares, and they love that kind of idea.
I do, too.
And then you have a practice session, because one of the things that causes knowledge to fall out of kids' heads is if they don't practice or use it enough. So you have to get them, you have to give them problem sets, and they don't have, I mean, those can be anything from something boring taken out of an old book, or they can be creative problems made up by the teacher that reinforce and have the child put into memory because they practice it. Now, during that process, I believe personally that process should fit into a class period each day. Into a class period, and you build on it. However, if there is a child that's slow or goofs off or doesn't get that done, then they have to take it home and do it in their spare time. Just like if I were at work and I didn't get all of my work done, I'd have to take my briefcase and put the work in it and take it home and work on it there so it'd be due the next day. But I don't believe, which most schools, when they talk about homework, they're talking about creating a whole separate set of work that they send home for the student to do specifically
it's
at home.
It's the same idea as the summer packet.
Yeah, except that they take it, they send it home every night. And a lot of schools, especially private schools, feel that it adds to their gravitas and makes them look, you know, like they're prep schools. One school I worked in, they had a policy like for every grade you had to do an hour plus a half of homework or something. They had a formula. So by the time you were in eighth grade, you were supposed to be doing 2.5 hours of homework every night. So a lot of this homework was being generated, and most of the teachers didn't count it in their grade book. Those that did usually had a tick mark, and they ticked if it was done, and if it wasn't, then it wasn't, and then they assigned it a certain percentage of the total grade. But they didn't actually go in and grade it, because a lot of this generated a huge amount of paperwork.
Yes. This whole topic begins to make me break out in a cold sweat, because I remember through my years of teaching, through 30 years of teaching, I've gone with the fad on this where, you know, the school, we as the school leader had a homework policy that we actually put into the student handbook. And as I was looking for stuff for this show, I found 10 good books that really have done a lot of research on it, and there is absolutely no correlation between whether children do homework and the meaningful measurement of achievement.
No, there isn't. Engagement in the classroom is actually much more meaningful than homework, because if I have, let's say I have 20 students in my classroom and I send them all with the same assignment, they're going to have several abilities. Some will have, be able to do homework and get it done quickly. Some will come from single-family homes where they barely are made to go to bed before 12 midnight and nobody's there to make them do the homework. Some of them may have learning disabilities that they need assistance. And honestly speaking, in some cases, even as low as the fifth grade, the parents don't know what to do to help the child. So now you're suddenly taking part of this child's grade and part of their evaluation for what they do in school, and you're throwing it into the wind.
Mm-hmm.
And it creates an unequal, you know. Now, if you were saying, well, the homework benefits the smarter one, it really doesn't. There's no correlation. There's never been a study that shows a correlation between homework and learning. You know, learning occurs when, like with little Jeremy here, his majority of the stuff he's learning, the stuff he's excited about, the stuff he could tell us, was stuff that he learned at his grandma's house from a book, or stuff that he...
learned from SpongeBob.
Yes, from SpongeBob. There you go. So, you know, the kids are learning all the time, and they're picking up from the environment around them, and they're learning, you know, and they're learning the things they want to learn. School oftentimes is just a big stumbling block for learning. Not always, but it can be. It can be huge. I mean, because we're putting them...
Every week I go, okay, I'm going to try to make this a real positive show, but this is a discouraging thing. In fact, Schools are giving more homework than ever before. Whole systems are giving more homework.
Well, part of it, I mean, in some cases, like the school that I went to, that the parents, even to send their kid to kindergarten, are paying $10,000 a year in tuition. So they wanted this homework to them was sort of like a badge of an excellent school. It was a myth, but it was what they believed would make an excellent school and make their kids well-disciplined. And, you know, and some of these kids, I remember one girl we had in there, and she was so retentive about everything. And she would spend the what we figured was 2.5 hours, she'd spend 6 hours a night.
Yeah, the homework. Perfectionist.
Yes.
What a sad commentary on education, and these poor kids are being just dumped on.
But still, somewhere a child has to learn. Like Jeremy at the top of the hour, of the last hour, mm-hmm. he told us all the things he learned, but none of them were at school. Because he learned those things because they interested him. He was mm-hmm. fascinated. He wanted to know. That's where we learn. I think I learned more in general that I remember from Childcraft books when I was a young kid.
Childcraft
books. I love those books. And I spent hours with them, and they were fascinating. There's the Make and Do book, and we made sock puppets. We made paint can stilts. We did everything, tried to make everything. That's the first time I made lemonade from that. You know, the book told me how to make lemonade, so I made it. And then there was the Pioneers and Patriots book, and I learned, you know, I knew about Swamp Fox and George Washington and all of those early pioneers from that book because the stories were so fascinating and well-written. I mean, school is more of a training, not really a learning. And so I don't discount the training part of it that I got. But even then, I probably wouldn't have done well the training, except, my mother was ready to give me knuckle bumps if I didn't buckle down.
Good training.
Yeah. So still, it was there to get that math training.
Now, you talked about kids having ownership. If we gave kids, let's say, some ownership in the homework policy, do you think that would help the situation any?
Yeah, well, that's what I say. My compromise would be not to punish any kid who didn't do homework, because you have no control over that as the teacher. You have no control over what's happening outside of the classroom. So, but if you created homework and you created options, you created 3 options for every homework or 4, and spend some time learning the different learning styles. If you split them up, there's thousands of different learning styles, but you can split them into 4 basic groups, with your tactile mm-hmm. or what. So try to hit each one of those. The kids that are naturally that way will be attracted to that option. Mm-hmm. Then you set these options up, or you make little packets. I used to like, when we had to do homework, I did projects. So they were home projects rather than homework. And you could take and work on them, and then you could use them to substitute for a quiz. So like if you got a B on your project. And we did it with rubrics, by the way. It's really important to do it with rubrics, because that lets the kid know exactly what's expected right down the line. And then you can go over the rubric with them and say, okay, this is why this is your grade. So now they have this B minus, and they can stick it in their bank. And then later on they have a quiz that's equivalent to that, and they get an F on that quiz. Well, okay, now you can use your bank.
Yeah, and you know, kids like this kind of gaming. Kids learn best when at play. And so if you can just put a little nuance in, it's pretty fun. I like it. I'd like to take it.
Well, it gives them ownership. They can go up and say, oh, that's it. Do I want this one? Do I want this one? Do I want this one? No, I think I want to do this one.
I was reading as I was doing research for this show, and there is a strong movement out there that of educators that believes you shouldn't assign a homework assignment unless you've recreated it. In other words, the teacher shouldn't just go, oh, well, I need something to give for homework, and rip out a page to copy or just, you know, randomly pick some web thing or textbook thing that they should actually create.
Right. I can tell you one thing. Whoever came up with that policy is not involved in public education. They're not involved in public education at all, because the amount that is piled on teachers in public schools is horrendous. And, you know, they already in many schools, like the one I taught, and we didn't have a math book. We had to come up with all our own math assignments. We had to create them all. And then we had to create all of our spelling. Any spelling that we wanted to do was totally our creation. You know, we had to create. Now, they would give you a syllabus of things that you, the things you had to cover, but it was up to you to make it up. They didn't have a math book there available. So you were worked to the bone as it was. I mean, I spent every night till 7 o'clock at the school trying to get ready and have the lesson plan ready.
It seems absolutely ludicrous.
Oh, it was just it was insane. And so then the idea of making up homework.
Well, I suppose they take some pride in being a textbookless school.
Well, I think it had to do more with economics, especially math. Math textbooks. You see, the dirty little secret is that a lot of teachers out there, especially general classroom teachers, are not that strong in math themselves. And particularly when you get them third and fourth, as in the team that I worked in, there were many of the teachers that we had to, the team leader and I would have to, even the head of our department. Said they came back and they had given this little test, and in the little test they were testing division facts, and so they had 7 divided by 0, and then they said the answer was 0. So I emailed them. This is the head of the math department for the county. I said, your answer's wrong. 7 divided by 0, it's null or it's infinity. It's mm-hmm. infinite. Actually it's infinite because 0 can go in an infinite amount of times, but you can't. It's not 0. And then they wrote back and said, oh, yes, it is. See, because if you have 7 eggs and you divide that by 0, it's 0. And I spent about a couple of months. Finally, I went to the principal of my school and said, look, this is being given to us. And we're teaching a wrong mm-hmm. fact. And they were like, they rolled their eyes. And then they went and got a hold of them and finally got that straightened out. So they took that math problem out. But that illustrates how tenuous the grasp of math is for some of them. So they don't know how to teach it, and they're afraid of it, and they don't really like it themselves. So math is a struggle both for teachers, for many teachers, and for students, when it really doesn't have to be as much if we're willing to make it fun and enjoyable. Mm-hmm.
That's right. Okay, I have another question here. Is it true that the principles that we're talking about in homework also apply to education in general?
You mean the principles of a lot of them, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, like you've mentioned, just assigning something to keep somebody busy or just to try to make yourself look good as a teacher.
Yeah. Well, I'll tell you, that has been squished out by No Child Left Behind. This one thing that's been squished out is that busy work, because every teacher knows that they have to prepare their students for the exams, or their jobs could be in jeopardy. I mean, even tenured teachers now in some states have their jobs in jeopardy if they're not getting those kids ready for the exams. Now, that sounds like a good thing, except the problem is what are the exams and what are they getting ready for?
I don't want to interrupt here, but then what about grading? Because we're, coming to the end, and grading.
I'd like to do away with all grading. I mean, I think if you had the right kind of school, you don't do grading. So if we had the same thing in school, so that the kids and the families going there understood that the kids are coming because they want to learn, they want to find out this fascinating thing. You know, if I brought a box into my classroom and it had some holes in it, and there's a little growling coming from it, and some scratch, scratch, I wouldn't need to do anything. The kids would be electric on that thing. Their attention, they would want to know what's in it.
That's
and I wouldn't
right.
need to say, I'm going to give you a test over what's in it. They would want to know.
That's right. And we hope that all of our students are that way, and that you're carrying the message forward. And we look forward to being with you again next week. Have a great week.
Have a great week.
You've been listening to Education Currents, a production of MRG Media. We're now on Facebook, and we'd love to have you join our discussion. Once you're in Facebook, just type in the name Education Currents. We'll also like to thank our production staff, the various networks that make this broadcast possible. For more information on education topics, go to educationcurrents.com. That's educationcurrents.com.